the other girl in the cell was dead. Zofia could just make her out in the gloom, hanging limply by one wrist, shackled to the stone wall. When they had brought her back yesterday, she had been alive, just. Eyes swollen shut under a mask of bruises, lips sewn together with coarse black thread. There had been blood on her dress and smeared down her legs. The girl had wept softly for a while in the darkness, then fallen still. Zofia turned her head away. She had seen girls brought back with even more horrifying injuries. Amputated limbs, torn, burnt flesh, the bones of their hands and feet crushed to powder. Some never came back at all. Zofia had no more tears to cry. It was only a matter of time before they came for her, too. And when they did, when they took her upstairs, there would be no mercy. The Blood Countess, a bite-sized fright. This series contains disturbing content. Listener discretion is advised. Zofia hugged her knees close to her chest and huddled against the damp stone. Her breath wheezed, shockingly loud in the dark stillness. She was thin, painfully so, little more than skin stretched taut over bone. Zofia tried to remember the last time she had eaten. Days ago. Weeks, maybe. How long had she even been down here in this nightmarish place? There were no windows in her cell. Impossible to judge the passage of time. It was dark and bitterly cold in the dungeon. Fetid water dripped from the walls and ceiling, soaking through Zofia's thin dress, once a fine gift from her mother, now little more than a filthy rag. The floor beneath her bare feet was covered in straw that was rank with old blood and human waste, crawling with tiny, biting insects. Zofia was not alone in her misery. There were two more girls shackled alongside her. She was fairly sure they were still alive. They had once all whispered together, talked of escape, of freedom. But that was long ago, before despair had extinguished any flame of hope. Zofia could sometimes hear girls in other cells beyond her own, sobbing, screaming, begging for help, for food, for death. There was a sudden murmur of low, rough voices outside Zofia's cell, the scrape of a key in the lock. The heavy oak door was wrenched open, and Zofia turned her head, blinded by the sudden brilliance of a burning torch. Three men entered the dungeon. Guards, wearing the colors of the Countess and carrying short wooden clubs studded with iron. Zofia kept her head turned, eyes down, trying to draw as little attention to herself as possible. She peered through her straggling, matted curtain of hair as the men inspected the dead girl on the opposite side of the cell, kicked her corpse once, and slowly turned. Blank eyes glinted in cruel, bearded faces as they surveyed their prisoners. "Take that one," one of them growled. Strong hands suddenly seized Zofia, closing like vices around her upper arms. She screamed as she was lifted roughly to her feet and tried to lash out, to kick and scratch and spit. But she was so desperately weak. The men held her easily. She screamed again. One of the guards rammed the handle of his club into her stomach, knocking the breath right out of her. Zofia sagged, retching, gasping for air. The guards hauled her away, her feet dragging through the filthy straw. In an outer chamber, the guards stripped her naked. When she tried to cover herself, one of them hit her again, this time splitting her lip with the back of his fist. She stood shivering, a frail, bruised skeleton. Two female servants emerged from the shadows, carrying wooden buckets. They doused Zofia in icy water, so shockingly cold that she almost fainted. The women scrubbed her body with stiff brushes that tore at her skin, trying to scour away the layers of ingrained blood and filth. When they were satisfied, Zofia was handed a simple white peasant's dress, but no shoes. The guards seized her arms and escorted her up a long, winding staircase, lit by sputtering candles. The two female servants hurried along behind them. The men handled Sophia as easily as one would a small child. There was no use in struggling. They moved quickly through the gloomy corridors of the castle. Once or twice they passed other servants or soldiers. Sophia thought about crying out for help, but they all turned their heads away when they saw her coming and hurried about their business. Despair hung like a crushing weight around her neck. At the top of another winding staircase, Sophia was bundled through a doorway into a wide, square chamber, dimly lit by burning torches that sent flickering shadows dancing across the rough-hewn walls. The room was bare, save for an ornately carved stone basin in the center. A woman stood by this basin, regally dressed in black and red. Rubies glittered at her throat and wrists, reflecting the hellish gleam of the torchlight. Sophia's legs buckled underneath her. It was she, the Blood Countess. The guards dragged Sophia forward until she stood face to face with the bejeweled woman. The Countess was beautiful, tall and elegant, with high cheekbones and full red lips. But her eyes were black, soulless. She took Sophia's face in her hands, with a grip as cold as death. For an instant, Sophia thought the woman was going to kiss her. Then the Countess's head snapped forward, her teeth sinking deep into Sophia's cheek. The girl screamed in pain and tried to twist away. The guards held her fast. The Countess tore at Sophia's face like a dog killing a rat. Blood spurted across the woman's face, dribbled down her chin. She wrenched her head backwards, and Sophia felt a long strip of flesh tear away from her face like wet cloth. She watched in delirious horror as the Countess ripped the bloody lump into two with her teeth and began to chew. The woman was eating her face. The Countess grinned, her mouth a dripping crimson smear. Sophia could see bits of skin caught between her teeth. Then the deranged woman grabbed her again, digging her fingers painfully into the gaping wound under her eye. Sophia opened her mouth to scream again. The Countess jammed the remaining scrap of ragged flesh down her throat. "Eat it!" she snarled, spraying bloody spittle across Sophia's face. She forced the girl's jaw shut and pinched her nose with fingers heavy with jeweled rings. Sophia writhed, legs flailing. Her flesh sat on her tongue like a warm slug. She couldn't breathe. Her vision was beginning to fade. Blood pooled in the back of her throat and she tried to cough, feeling herself slowly suffocating. The Countess's black eyes bored into hers, alive with a manic fire. Sophia swallowed. The Countess released her grip. She stepped back, smiling like a proud mother. Sophia retched, vomiting blood and half-chewed flesh across the cold stone floor. The Countess laughed in delight and clapped her hands in an oddly childlike manner. "Very good," she cooed, gesturing to the two female servants who lurked in the shadows by the doorway. They scuttled over to their mistress and, with deft, practiced movements, they began to undress her. Within moments, the Countess stood naked, save for her glittering jewelry. Her pale skin was flawless, smooth as plaster. It glowed eerily in the firelight. She took a handful of Sophia's hair, dragging her forward until the girl's head hovered over the rim of the stone basin in the middle of the room. Sophia whimpered in pain. Bone was visible through the loose lips of flesh that had once been her cheek. She tried to twist her head and caught a glimpse of a small dagger in the Countess's hand, its hilt encrusted with gemstones. Sophia bucked and writhed, feeling great clumps of her hair tear free in the woman's merciless grasp. She screamed one last time. There was a flash of silver, and the Countess opened Sophia's throat from ear to ear. Blood sprayed in a crimson fountain, drenching the Countess, who gasped in apparent ecstasy. She began to smear the gore across her skin like some precious oil, massaging it into her face, her arms, her chest. Sophia's legs buckled, but the guards kept her upright. Through rapidly dimming eyes, she could see her lifeblood gushing out of her, collecting in the stone basin. She watched as the Countess, eyes bulging madly in the bloody mask of her face, dipped her cupped hands into the spreading pool and raised them to drink. The last of Zophia's strength ebbed away in a few feeble spurts. The guards dropped her unceremoniously, like a sack of meat. She was dead before she hit the ground. There have been many notorious serial killers throughout history. Men whose names conjure up images of merciless monsters, stalking their victims from the shadows. Jack the Ripper, Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy. The list goes on. In the year 2000, Dr. Harold Frederick Shipman, also known as the Angel of Death, made history when he was convicted for murder. An inquiry concluded that Shipman had deliberately killed at least 215 of his most vulnerable patients throughout his medical career. He is believed to be the most prolific serial killer in history. However, if the stories are true, there was once someone who far exceeded even Shipman's lust for death. A woman whose gruesome crimes over 400 years ago would earn her the name Countess Dracula. Elizabeth Bathory ruled over huge swathes of the Kingdom of Hungary in the late 16th and early 17th centuries. Born in 1560, she hailed from a family of great wealth and political influence, and was related by blood to some of the most powerful men in Eastern Europe. Her uncle was King of Poland, her cousin a Prince of Transylvania. However, Countess Elizabeth Bathory would carve out a bloody legacy that would transcend that of any of her regal relatives. In 1611, Bathory was arrested in her castle, accused of the sadistic torture and murder of hundreds of young peasant girls and noblewomen. These girls were said to have been coerced or kidnapped from local villages, while the daughters of noble families were sent to the countess to learn courtly etiquette. The highest number of victims recorded at the trial was 650, which would make Bathory the most prolific serial killer in history, several times over. The list of accusations leveled at the Countess was extensive and gruesome. Over 300 witnesses and survivors testified against her, claiming to have seen Bathory mutilating her victims with scissors and needles, biting flesh from their faces and limbs, or burning them with red-hot keys and coins. She reportedly crushed the girls' hands and feet, strangled them with silken scarves, starved them, buried them alive, inserted burning iron rods into their bodies, or froze them to death in barrels of icy water. Some victims she covered in honey and live ants. Others she forced to cook and eat their own flesh, or grind it into sausages to be served to unsuspecting guests at her castle. There were accusations of witchcraft, blood sacrifice, and satanic rituals. The Countess was accused of cannibalism, of consorting with demons and using magic spells to torment her enemies. She was said to have kept 5 dead servants stuffed under her bed, whom she continued to talk to and feed as though they were still alive. The rumor spread that when soldiers had stormed the castle with intent to arrest the Countess for her crimes, she had been caught literally red-handed, covered in the blood of her latest victim. Many other mutilated, dead or dying prisoners were later found in her dungeon. Countess Bathory was eventually found guilty of the gruesome crimes, along with 4 of her servants who stood accused of being her accomplices. Punishment was swift and brutal. The servants, mostly older women, had their fingers torn off with iron tongs before being thrown screaming onto a burning fire. Bathory, whose powerful family and political connections had allowed her reign of bloody terror to go unchallenged for so many years, was spared this grisly fate. Instead, she was bricked into a windowless room in her castle and left to rot for the rest of her days. She died 3 years later. After her death, more shocking stories began to circulate. Locals whispered that the Countess had been drinking the blood of virgin girls murdered in her castle, sometimes bathing in it, with the belief that it would bring her everlasting youth and beauty. Some historians have suggested that there is evidence that Bathory suffered from seizures or epilepsy when she was a young girl. In 16th century Hungary, one cure for such seizures was to rub the blood of a non-sufferer on one's lips or face, or to drink a grisly mixture of their brains and blood. Perhaps such traumatic childhood treatments were the root of Bathory's gory obsession. Either way, these macabre rumors would resonate through history, ensuring the Blood Countess would live on in legends of vampiric horror. Indeed, Elizabeth Bathory is often compared to Vlad Tepes, also known as Vlad the Impaler. This brutal, bloodthirsty warlord of Transylvania famously skewered his enemies alive on wooden spikes, leaving them to slowly slip down until the point emerged through their open mouths. He is said to be the basis for Count Dracula in the 1897 Gothic horror novel by Bram Stoker. However, many insist it was actually Bathory, the Blood Countess, who provided the real inspiration for the infamous vampire. While female serial killers are rare indeed, Elizabeth Bathory is by no means alone in the list of powerful, murderous women through history. Mother Superior Mariam Sulakiotis, nicknamed the Woman Rasputin, founded an Orthodox monastery in Greece in 1927. It was here that she convinced wealthy women to join her convent, then brutally tortured them until they donated their fortunes to the church. Once they had handed over their wealth and property, Sulakiotis would imprison or murder them. She was arrested in 1951, accused of killing at least 27 women. Her strict control over life in the monastery is also believed to have caused the deaths of at least 150 children through neglect, starvation, and disease. The Mother Superior died in 1954, though her monastery remains open. It still has members who revere her as a saint. Daria Nikolaevna Soltikova was a noblewoman who lived in Moscow, Russia, during the 18th century, and whose life bore many similarities to that of the Blood Countess. Soltikova was arrested in 1762, accused of the vicious torture, mutilation, and murder of most of her servants, almost all of whom were female. She beat them bloody, scalded them with boiling water, or stripped them naked and tossed them out to die in the winter frost. Her rage apparently stemmed from a failed romance that caused her to unleash her anger and spite on these helpless women, whom she now saw as rivals. Soltikova was convicted for 38 slayings, though investigating officials uncovered almost 140 suspicious deaths that had occurred on her estate. Soltikova, like Bathory, was well connected at court. Russian Empress Catherine the Great spared her the death penalty. Instead, she was imprisoned in the cellar of a monastery, reportedly without lamp or candle, so that she would live the rest of her days in darkness. Soltikova would live in that cellar for more than 30 years, before her death in 1801. Then, we have the infamous Madame Delphine Lalaurie. By 1830, rumors of the cruelty of Madame Lalaurie had begun to circulate amongst the wealthy socialites of New Orleans. Her slaves were often noted as being singularly haggard and wretched. One, an 8-year-old girl, had plunged to her death from the roof of the Lalaurie mansion whilst trying to evade punishment from her whip-wielding mistress. Some residents about town claimed the girl had jumped. But it was not until a fire broke out in the mansion in 1834 that the true extent of Delphine Lalaurie's sadistic cruelty was revealed. When the police and fire marshals rushed to tackle the blaze, they found the 70-year-old cook chained to the stove by her ankle. She claimed to have started the fire in a suicide attempt, and that any slave taken to the attic room of the house never returned. The door to the slave quarters was broken down. Inside, the police found 7 more of Lalaurie's victims, described as having limbs that were stretched and torn, their bodies horribly mutilated, wearing spiked iron collars that forced them to keep their heads upright. Later stories spoke of Madame Lalaurie's insatiable sadistic appetite, how she gouged out the eyes of her male slaves, sewed their lips together, tore out their entrails and wound them around their bodies, or drilled holes in their skulls and scrambled their brains with a stick. When news of the unspeakable acts committed in their town reached the ears of the people of New Orleans, an angry mob stormed the Lalaurie mansion. They trashed the place, burnt most of it to the ground. But Madame Lalaurie had vanished. She had used the commotion caused by the mob to flee New Orleans and escape to France. She never answered for her brutal crimes, and died in Paris in the 1840s. A new mansion was built over the ashes of the old. It is still there today, in the historic French Quarter of New Orleans. It is considered to be one of the most haunted buildings in America. The paranormal activity began almost immediately, with local residents reportedly hearing the tortured shrieks of murdered slaves echoing around the nearby streets. When the mansion was divided into apartments in the 1870s, residents were plagued by disembodied screams and the dragging of chains, scratching in the walls and floorboards, and the smell of burning human flesh. Many of those bold enough to stay a night in the old building claim to have been woken in the dark hours, only to see the pale figure of a woman glaring down at them from the shadows, the vengeful spirit of Madame Delphine Lalaurie. As the centuries have passed, the stories of these murderous women have been embellished, twisted into legends designed to make us shudder with spine-tingling horror. Certainly, in the case of Elizabeth Bathory, there are those who believe that she was innocent, framed by political rivals intent on removing such a fierce woman from power and seizing her wealth and land for their own. Though that is not how history will remember her. Countess Bathory lives on in infamy as one of the cruelest, most vile human beings ever to walk this earth. A demon cloaked in the flesh of a woman. What do you think? Was Elizabeth Bathory a vampiric, mass-murdering monster worthy of the title Blood Countess? Or an innocent victim of a time that would not tolerate such political power and influence to be held by a woman? Or something in between? And what of the others, Lalaurie and Soltykova? Are the barbarous acts of these formidable women so much more shocking to us than the actions of any butcher king or tyrannical prince? And if they are, why? We would love to hear your own theories and ideas about this mysterious case. If you have enjoyed this episode, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PixelElixir, and subscribe at BitesizedFrights.com to make sure that you never miss any of our terrifying tales. This has been a Pixel Elixir production, narrated by Chris Kay. Thank you for listening. Until the next bite, my friends.